Hi, and welcome to another episode of Teen Health Matters. This is Jacqueline Dujay from the Howard County Health Department, and I'm going to introduce our two guest hosts today, Patrick Keefe and Grace Leachman.
Hi, my name is Patrick Keefe. I'm a student at Mary Church High School, and I'm an intern at the Howard County Health Department, and today I'm with my co-host, Grace.
Hi, I'm Grace Leachman. I'm a senior at Mount Hebron High School, and I am also an intern at the Howard County Health Department.
So this is going to be the second episode of Teen Health Matters, and what we really like about this program is that this is going to be a podcast that is, you know, kind of designed by teens, discussed by teens, and going to be talking about daily aspects of teen life, and that's something that we're really passionate about, getting out a message about what it's just like to be a teenager. And so today we are going to be discussing mindfulness, and Grace, what's your opinion on that?
I think mindfulness is something that's very important in every teenager's life, and the goal of this podcast is to kind of introduce what mindfulness is, why it's important, and how it can help.
Yep. Yeah, so my personal opinion, I think mindfulness is just being aware of what's going on in life, having an appreciation for, you know, having that balance between school, social life, work. And I think that mindfulness is something that's kind of become muddled over the past few years. You know, life's pulling us in a million different directions. We're so consumed by one thing at a time. And so I think that for teens especially, it's really hard to get kind of that sense of mindfulness when we don't really know where to put our focus on in life.
I totally agree. The standard day teenager now has so many pressures affecting them, and I think everyone needs to take a step back once in a while and realize, reintroduce mindfulness to their life and think about what's important.
I agree. So today, we actually have an expert here to help us with answer some questions about that. So doctor, would you like to introduce yourself?
Why, certainly. My name is Heather Alexander, and I'm a pediatrician who practices in Columbia, Maryland. And I'd like to start out by saying first, thank you for inviting me to talk a little bit about mindfulness.
No, thank you so much for being here. It's an honor. It's really great to have someone professional be here to answer our questions. So we're just going to jump right into it. So what do you perceive to be mindfulness to be? We just had our team perspective. We gave our perspectives, but what do you see?
Well, I think you guys touched a bit on it, on what mindfulness is. I see mindfulness practice as a way to help address the suffering and anxiety that a lot of us, that we all experience actually. And mindfulness at its simplest is paying attention to what is happening in the present moment. It is paying attention on purpose in the present moment in a particular way. And that particular way of paying attention is non-judgmentally and with compassion. We live in a world where we tend to check in with our cell phones more often than we check in with ourselves. And mindfulness helps us to be more in touch with ourselves and also with others around us. So today, we're going to talk briefly about mindfulness. But to fully experience mindfulness and its benefits, further instruction and practice is needed. But my experience has been that it's well worth it.
Great. So how does mindfulness improve stress and reduce it?
Well, one of the major ways that mindfulness works is by decreasing our reactivity. And there's over 35 years of research on mindfulness and its benefits. And some of those benefits are chronic pain, dealing with depression, ADHD, anxiety, and stress reduction is a big one. So practicing mindfulness helps us in many ways. Mindfulness helps us to live in the present moment. It helps us to learn how to be with discomfort, to handle it without being overwhelmed by it. Mindfulness helps us to learn to stop living on automatic pilot. Mindfulness helps us to learn to pause and choose how to respond in a situation instead of reacting automatically. And with mindfulness, we learn to show compassion and kindness to ourselves, and it then becomes easier to show that same compassion and kindness to people around us. And to expand a little bit more on each of these areas, we tend to spend a lot of time worrying about what may happen in the future or rehashing events that have happened in the past, and this often causes stress. Mindfulness helps us to live in the present moment. This doesn't mean that we never think about the future or that we don't think about the past, but it's something that we do on purpose when we think it's going to be something that is helpful to us. So it's something we would do purposefully when it is helpful for us to do so. With mindfulness instruction, we learn how to be with discomfort, to handle it without being overwhelmed by it. We can learn to acknowledge feelings rather than run from them or be overwhelmed by them, recognizing that feelings are just that, feelings. And we can learn to befriend our feelings because feelings can inform us. They can tell us that there's something that we need to attend to. We can learn about our body's response to stress and fear. Generally, that is the fight, flight, or freeze response that, you know, we're all probably familiar with. And learning that that's actually a part of our body's way of protecting us. We learn in mindfulness instruction about our prefrontal cortex, the most developed thinking part of our brain, which in a sense gets hijacked when we're stressed, and the more primitive part of our brain kind of takes over. So mindfulness helps us to be able to re-engage the prefrontal cortex and the thinking part of our brains. Mindfulness helps us to learn to stop living on automatic pilot. We probably all have had the experience of arriving somewhere and wondering how we got there. It might happen walking to class, riding in a car. All of a sudden, you've arrived someplace and you have no idea, oh, wait, how did this happen? And when this happens, we miss what is happening around us, which could be something pretty awesome or significant. The same thing can happen with our emotions. We may suddenly find ourselves feeling sad or angry and not know how we got there. Mindfulness helps us to be more aware of how we arrive someplace. Not just physically, but emotionally as well. We might recognize certain patterns of reacting, some of which may not be helpful for us in achieving our goals, and we can choose to go down a different road. That's the power for me in mindfulness, is the ability to find the space to make a choice instead of the automatic reactions that we tend to find ourselves doing. With mindfulness practices, we learn to pause and choose how to respond to a situation instead of the reacting automatically. For example, we're angry about something or angry at someone and we want to yell something hurtful and we know that words can't be taken back. Practicing mindfulness helps us to recognize that anger and to find the space to pause and choose how to best respond. When we pause, we can ask ourselves, well, why am I feeling this way? What do I need to attend to? We're learning to bring a sense of curiosity to our emotions instead of being overwhelmed by them. And with mindfulness practices, we are learning to show compassion and kindness to ourselves, and then it becomes easier to show compassion and kindness to others. More awareness of and compassion to our own feelings allows us to be more aware of and have compassion for the feelings of others, and it allows room for more empathy and kindness. So these are all kind of ways that mindfulness can impact us and help us to live better lives.
Geez, you make it sound so easy. So I love everything you said. You know how mindfulness has so many benefits. But I think the biggest question that a lot of us have are what are easy ways that teens can incorporate this into their lives? Because like we said, you know, we feel so busy all the time. We feel mm-hmm. so stressed. And mindfulness, it's kind of this way where we can just kind of slow things down, take a minute to evaluate everything that's going on. But how do we do that? How are we able to take that time?
That's an excellent question. Okay. And as I had mentioned in the beginning, mindfulness is not something that you can just learn in a short period of time, even though you can kind of learn about it and hopefully will pique everyone's interest to want to learn more about it. It's a practice, and it's called a practice for a reason. It's something that you kind of, well, you kind of think of it as kind of retraining your brain to think differently. And little bits of practice mindfulness will add up over time, so it becomes more natural for us to live that way. So you basically start with little things at a time, you know, baby steps. But I do encourage people who are really interested to seek further instruction on practicing, and guided practices can be very helpful. But with mindfulness practices, there are two types of practices. There's those that are called formal practices, and then there are those that are called informal. So, and they're practices that can be done in any way. You can do them sitting, you can be standing, you can be laying down, you can be walking. And that's another wonderful thing about mindfulness. You can do it any time. A simple practice that we often start with is called awareness of the breath. of course, we always have a breath with us. It's something you can tune into at any time. So that's a nice place to start. That is one of the formal practices. And in the beginning, it's kind of good to do it in a guided way rather than sitting down and trying to do it yourself, because you can kind of get lost with it. And I know, Patrick, you said it seems like I make it sound so easy. It's simple, but it's also the hardest work that you'll ever do, in a sense. So starting with awareness of breath is a good way to start. And if we have time, maybe we could, that's something we could do maybe at the end of the session. The other ways you can bring mindfulness into your life is through informal practices. And that would be something like just choosing something that you do throughout the day and doing it mindfully. Okay, we tend to do things and we're not even aware that we're doing it. Our mind is somewhere else. Oh, I have an assignment. I have a paper that's due, while you're taking a shower or brushing your teeth. But those are two examples of activities that you could practice mindfully. Brushing your teeth, taking a shower. You could kind of just bring a new sense of curiosity to what you're doing, like you've never done this before. So for instance, when you're brushing your teeth, you put your hands on the faucet. What does that feel like? Is it cold? Is it hot? You turn on the water. There's a sound that's associated with that. You hear the running water. You touch the water. Is it cold? Is it hot? You know, the toothpaste, feeling the tube in your hand. What does that feel like? And, you know, squeezing it out, you know, on the brush. I mean, there's a lot, all of our senses are involved in that. And in a way, practicing mindfulness is a way of coming to our senses and appreciating them, because these are all the things that we often tend to take for granted. So a simple thing that teenagers could do is pick one thing you're going to, you know, okay, brushing my teeth, washing my face, and do it mindfully as if you've never done it before. And that's a way of focusing yourself in the present moment. It's a way of kind of grounding yourself. And you can do it when you're stressed too. I mean, you're waiting for, you know, a test or something's happening. What's going on around you? The sounds of something, you know, you can use things to ground you, the sensation of the chair underneath you, your feet on the floor. Those are all things that are being mindful, actually practicing mindfulness.
Since mindfulness is so important in our everyday lives, how often do you think teenagers should focus on being mindful?
Well, that, I don't know that there's a specific answer to how often. Again, I think it goes back to the small practices, little bits at a time, eventually add up, and then it becomes natural, and then we're more and more mindful. To start with, and it depends on the person, because 5 minutes can seem like an eternity, you know, when you're sitting and just focusing on your breath. So you start where you are. You know, maybe you can only do it for a minute. Okay, I'm going to notice what my breath is doing for a minute. And that's all you can do. And then you kind of just build up on it. This is where the non-judgmental part comes in, because of course, we tend to beat ourselves up when we feel like we're not doing something right. And the beauty of mindfulness is that there's not like a right way. I mean, if your mind is wandering, that's what our minds do. That's how our bodies are kind of, that's how we're designed. That's what our brains do. So if you're sitting and you're, okay, I'm supposed to be focusing on my breath. Oh, wait, now I find myself thinking about what I have to do tomorrow, what I'm having for dinner or for lunch. Well, then you just bring your mind, your thoughts back to the breath. And that in itself is a moment of being mindful, where we might beat ourselves up and say, oh my gosh, I can't even sit here for a minute without thinking about lunch. Instead, the non-judgmental, compassionate part comes in there, where you're telling yourself, saying to yourself, this is okay. And go back to, you know, focusing on your breath.
So I have kind of a broader question, just kind of bring this into it. So my English teacher, every week or so, we usually have about 5 minutes during one of our classes where we sit, we turn the lights off, and we turn on kind of a meditation video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you think a practice like that for students, I think that they're starting to incorporate that more in elementary schools as well. Do you think taking, you know, 5 minutes every other day, letting students just kind of breathe in that time, kind of de-stress, do you think that's worth it? Or do you think it could be better used with other mindfulness techniques?
You know, there are so many different mindfulness techniques, and there are, and as you had alluded to, it's kind of like a buzzword. Everywhere you turn, you hear mindfulness, mindfulness, mindfulness. That is beneficial. I mean, to take a break and just to sit still. But I think there needs to be some more instruction along with it, because a lot of times you're not really understanding what is the purpose of this. Why am I sitting here looking at this mindfulness video or watching the waves? Or it's helpful to understand how it's beneficial. So I think it's helpful and it is nice to pause. I think we all should do that, but I think there needs to be more done. I don't think that's enough. I think actual mindfulness instruction is good to bring into the schools, and there are many schools around the country that are doing just that, and there are studies that have shown, you know, in inner city schools the benefit to having the mindfulness instruction and having like maybe a room, you know, where kids could take a break and go, and there's someone there and they can take a mindfulness break, and bringing it into the school day I think would be an excellent thing to do. I think we could all benefit from it. You know, students are taught about math and science and how to excel in all these areas, but we're really not taught how to live and how to handle stress, which I think is equally, if not more important, because all that other stuff is not going to matter much to us if we're having trouble functioning in life because we're overwhelmed.
And what do you see, if you could design this yourself, what would the ideal mindfulness program in school be for you? What would the ideal structure for a student be?
You know, that's a hard question to answer because there are programs in place where they've done the studies and the research, and they go from anything where somebody comes into the school and is doing like 45-minute or 15-minute increments of mindfulness to more involved programs. So that's a big question, because fitting it in the school day, getting teachers to buy into it, because it's going to take away from instructional time. So that's not a question that I feel I could answer adequately at this moment.
No problem. That's not a problem at all. Could you demonstrate a simple mindfulness technique that you think a teen could fit in their day? I know you said you could stop and breathe or feel the faucet when you're brushing your teeth, but what is something that you think, say a teen's, you know, has to go to practice right after school, in between those few minutes, what do you think is something else they could do?
I think the awareness of breath practice is a good thing to do, because again, it doesn't require any particular preparation. You could be walking, you could be sitting, you can be running, and you can just focus on your breathing. And were you asking if I would like to do like a short practice to kind of demonstrate that a little bit, or is it more kind of describing something to do?
It was more of a description, but if you want to show something, feel free to. That'd be awesome.
Okay. So we were talking about mindfulness practices that you can do at home or wherever you are. And one of the mindfulness practices is awareness of breathing. And as I had said before, your breath is something that you always have with you. So it's a good tool to use to help to anchor us in the present moment. Now, with the mindfulness practices, they all use an anchor, which we all know what an anchor is. And you have that visual of something that's kind of keeping you someplace. So in this instance, the breath is used as the anchor to keep us in the present moment. What we can do is just kind of find a comfortable position. Again, you could be laying down, but since we're all sitting, we're going to do it in a sitting position. So you want to sit in a comfortable, upright position, alert, feeling supported. And what you can do is just start off by just noticing where you are. And just noticing the support that's around you, the chair that's holding you up, and noticing your feet on the ground and really feeling the support of the ground underneath you. And if you feel comfortable, you can allow your gaze to drop towards the floor, or you can gently close your eyes and continuing to just notice where you are. Your hands could just rest gently in your lap or on the arms of the chair. And just notice for a moment the position of your body in space. Notice where your head is resting. A lot of times we're so eager to see what's happening next that we have our head forward rather than resting directly over our shoulders. And if that's the case for you, just gently allow your head to position itself right over your shoulders. And let your arms just hang loosely at your side. You might notice any sounds around you. just coming to our senses, any aromas in the air. Maybe even the feel of the air on your skin. And just being here, not needing to do anything or be anywhere else. And now just allowing your attention to come to your breath. Just noticing the in-breath and the out-breath. Without having to do anything about it. Perhaps noticing the quality of your breath. Maybe it's smooth. Maybe it's kind of edgy or sticky. Maybe slow or fast. And that's okay. You might notice that there's a natural inclination when you think about your breath to want to change it in some way. And that's okay. Just notice that too. And see if you can notice for you where you feel the breath most vividly. Might be at the nostrils as you inhale. Maybe there's a sensation of coolness. Perhaps you feel the breath most in the back of your throat. But just noticing. Perhaps you're noticing the rise and fall of your chest and your abdomen. As you breathe in and breathe out. And if your mind has wandered, as our minds do, just bringing the attention back to the breath. And each time our mind wanders, just using the breath as an anchor, bringing it back to the present moment. Right here, right now. And just continue to watch yourself be breathed. Not forgetting to show yourself compassion when your mind wanders. Just bring it back to the breath. Realizing that each moment that we catch our minds wandering is an actual moment of mindfulness. And we just come back to the present moment. Not needing to change anything or do anything. Just being here as we are now. Just watching the breath go in and go out. And then just taking one more deep breath in and deep breath out. Gently allowing your eyes to open if they were closed. Kind of taking in the room again and the light. And just recognizing and thanking yourself for having a moment of mindfulness.
Thank you for that. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
So yeah, thank you so much for that, doctor. That was a great explanation. That was great technique. And just thank you for coming on and answering our questions.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So Grace, I want to transition for the last few minutes to just you and I discussing our opinions. So we just went through a mindfulness technique. What did you think about that?
I thought that was great. I think that's something that everyone can try to concentrate and do maybe once a day, once every other day, to just kind of come back and start paying more attention to your body and just where you are in your life at that moment.
Yeah, what I liked about it is that even when my mind was wandering, that was still me being mindful because I could realize where my mind was going. You know, I could see what was going on. And I just like that aspect of it, that I'm actually was stuck in place watching my mind go. It's that I'm actually aware of where my thoughts are going, and that's something that I really like. So how do you think we as teens can become more mindful? Can you know have that time to keep ourselves grounded in reality and kind of follow our thoughts rather than letting our thoughts control us?
I think it's just really important to remember to take a break sometimes. I find in my life as well, if I'm not doing something, I'm listening to music or I'm on my phone, or there's always some stimuli, though. There's always something going on. And I think it's really important maybe to turn off the radio in the car sometimes, to just put down the phone and just sit there. And sometimes we're just so used to always being connected, being active, that sitting there is almost uncomfortable sometimes. And I think it's really important just to let everything go, to focus. Where your thoughts are wandering might even help you determine what's really bothering you, what you want to do about that. And so I think it's really important just to disconnect sometimes, as hard as that might be, and just relax and concentrate on being mindful.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, especially in this day and age where there's so much that could distract us. Having that moment where you're just disconnected from everything, just alone with yourself and your thoughts, I think that it sounds easy. It sounds like you can do it. It's going to take a little bit of effort, but I really think that it is worth it, just having that moment of self-reflection.
I agree. Do you think teens have the time to be mindful, though?
I think that depends on a point of view. I think a lot of us think, you know, I have no time in the day to do anything, when in reality, you know, we have a lot of wasted time. You know, I could be sitting on my phone for 30 minutes watching YouTube and I'll be like, oh, where'd the time go? Or I have no time to do anything now. In reality, it's my fault that the time's slowly ticking away, and there's no worse time than wasted time. So I think that it depends what teens are willing to sacrifice in order to receive this. I think that the benefits far outweigh the cons, and I think that's something that teens could do. But I think that for a lot of us, it's just getting there, making the time for ourselves, and sacrificing something else, sacrificing those, you know, 10 minutes of watching Netflix, sacrificing those 10 minutes of maybe working out. But I think taking these 10 minutes of working on ourselves and our minds is more important than anything else. But I mean, once again, it's up to you. It's up to you how you perceive your mind.
I agree. I think with this and with almost anything in life, if you truly want to do something, you'll make time to do it and you'll find the time to do it. So I think it's important to start prioritizing mental health, like mindfulness, in our everyday lives.
So I think we'll be able to get one more question here, and I want your opinion on this. Do you think that for teens, mindfulness can change them in any way? Do you think it can positively change them, or do you think it can maybe negatively change them in some way?
I think mindfulness can definitely lead to a positive change in everyday life. I mean, it's so common to be walking down the hallways and all you hear about is people stressed out and how much sleep did you get last night? Because I only got like 2 hours or something like that. And I think that mindfulness will really help people to prioritize. I think it'll really help people just to take a break, to step back, to be like, maybe I shouldn't be doing like 10 or 20 extracurriculars if it means that I can't sleep at night or I can't do this or that. And I think mindfulness will really help people kind of center themselves and realize what's truly important in their lives and what they should be focusing on.
Yeah, I think, once again, prioritizing, I think having that mindset that you can think about your priorities and make room for your priorities is the most important thing. So I think that's going to about wrap it up for this episode. In the next coming weeks, we'll hopefully have more episodes, more topics, more students here hopefully getting their opinions on it. Once again, Doctor, thank you so much for being here. You did a great job. Your technique was amazing. And I hope we could probably have you back sometime. So thank you for coming.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.